Hello and welcome to the ELT Chat podcast. As usual, I'm your host, James Taylor, and this month we've got another cracking show for you. Later, we'll be hearing from Chris Wilson on his innovative twist on summary writing. Vicky Loris is back, not once, but twice, with another of her regular interviews with ELT Chat regulars, and she speaks to me about the ETAS SIG Day in Switzerland. But first, October saw a fascinating ELT Chat discussion on the unusual subject of mindfulness. I asked Phil Longwell, who both suggested and summarised the chat, to tell us more.
Okay, what is mindfulness? Well, mindfulness essentially means being aware. It's choosing to focus attention on something, you know, experiencing things in the present moment, not reflecting on the past or the near future. It means paying attention on purpose to the things that you're doing in the present. Mindfulness is awareness. Focused attention. It means experiencing the moment more fully, using, you know, any one or all of your senses. It should be non-reactive. That is, you know, you don't experience the present based on previous conditioning. Mindfulness encourages you to respond to your experience rather than to thought. And it means not looking back on past experiences or thinking forward and worrying about the next thing. It's also an active process. It involves active attention leading to awareness, and attention should be non-judgmental and always accepting. Mindfulness itself is practiced in Western psychology now to alleviate a variety of mental and physical conditions. And it's not something that, as far as I'm aware, has been previously associated at all with English language teaching, which is why, having just recently discovered it myself, I wanted to explore it by raising it as a topic for the chat. We can all be aware as English language teachers of the word mindful and what that adjective actually means. I wanted to explore more deeply what the actual practice of mindfulness meant. And I recently had a period in my life where I had some problems. I was becoming very anxious and I was having a series of panic attacks, and I wanted to find out why I was having these. And there's also some personal details, which I'm not going to go into here, but I needed to go away for a while, and I went on a retreat. And during that time, I took account of my life and where I was going. And whilst I was on this retreat, I learned about mindfulness, or what they call as dialectical behavioural therapy. Learned this for the first time. Although it takes practice, I soon realised the benefits of thinking in the present and dealing with issues myself through a process of acceptance. If I may. I certainly learned the art of focused breathing, which I found is something that I do need to do a lot of. And taking 10 to 15 minutes every day, sometimes twice a day, just to take stock. It also helped me to be grateful for the things that I've got rather than things that I haven't got or just recently lost. And I think we can all, as teachers, have a period every day when we practice this kind of aspect of mindfulness. Mindfulness can be meditative, and it can be being aware of or observing the immediate environments, which for ELT purposes could be the classroom. There's a similarity to the sounds of silence idea, which I nicked from Luke Meddings in his Teaching Unplugged book with Scott Thornbury, where learners listen attentively, leading to descriptive emergent language. It taps into experimenting with all of your potential senses. And by senses, I mean mindfulness invites us to open up a whole world of descriptive vocabulary, which can come out just by touching or hearing, etc. So. I was very interested how this chat developed. A lot of chatters really had no idea what it might be about, while a number of others who perhaps had read my original post on the topic, they had some idea. For example, one suggested it was about focusing or noticing specific things, such as objects or listening out for sounds. Another realised it was to do with making the most of all our senses. One person said that the opposite of mindfulness might be that the teacher who teaches the lesson and not the class, while I think there was another that suggested it's about taking time to savour, you know, smell and taste things around you rather than gobbling it all down. I think that was Tefal Rina. Mindfulness, she also suggested, was about responding, I think, as fully as possible to what the students are bringing at that very moment, which I thought was a good idea, good quote. And really being aware as a teacher of what the students are bringing to class. I think a lot thought it meant simply being mindful, as I've earlier said. And although this can mean being aware, it doesn't actually mean taking care or being watchful of your students. It's more about them being aware of what's around in the immediate environment rather than their minds being switched off or distracted by thoughts elsewhere. Many appeared cynical, but I think this was because they thought I was trying to introduce some kind of new learning style of teaching, similar to dogme or something. They were sort of sceptical about having yet another word to describe something that they already used. Like another faddish teaching style, things like Suggestopedia or the Silent Way were also mentioned. But I wasn't aiming to suggest this was another methodology, just a simple thing that could be practiced when the need arises. I think opinion was divided on its usefulness. I think Tefal Rina was the one who was most positive about it. She seemed to fully get what I was trying to put across. I've already mentioned some of her ideas, but she did tweet about the lack of consistency that we might have as teachers on being mindful in the class. By mindful, she meant, I think, awareness of the actual teaching situation. And I believe yourself, James, added something about it, perhaps leading to a deeper form of reflection and an antidote to the busyness of lessons. At Tim Krangle, he also said he weighed in with some suggestions about it being more sophisticated than just merely silent reflection, as many seem to think. And I think Marissa said at one point about you could bring out a new book called Zen and the Art of ELT. That was my favourite one. I recalled, I think it was Laura Aha, who, I don't know how you pronounce her name, she thought it was an excuse for her later classes students just to drift off in the lesson and not do anything. So, you know, some thought it could be counterproductive. When I said it tapped into experiment with all your potential senses, Sean Wilden said this is, you know, this is already the case with three learning styles he knows of, VAK, Gustato, I think it's called, or olfactory. I don't even know these methods myself, but he's obviously more experienced than I am in this. A bit nervous about proposing this topic because I knew there's a lot more teachers out there with a lot more experience of different, maybe slightly faddish learning styles, but I wasn't pretending that it was a learning style at all. I even joked during the chat, actually, that I'd have to take a vow of mindfulness. I think the main point to get across in the whole of this is that it's not meant to take the whole lesson. I think it's designed for a 5 or 10 minute part of the lesson, ideally at the start or maybe at the end as a warmer or a cooler. And I think it's good for classroom management. I think it gets students in the room focused on the lesson that's then going to come and the lesson point. So the actual thing itself may not teach anything, or actually the students may not learn anything. I think the art of it is getting them in the room mentally. And preparing them for the lesson that's ahead. And that's what I was trying to get across, but I don't think was fully successful during the course of the actual chat. But hopefully those teachers that went away and thought about it more got some benefits and thought, well, how could I actually use this, you know, in my lessons? Tell me, Okay, well, I wrote my summary. I think it was the second summary that I've done for ELT Chat, and I did it fairly quickly. I didn't spend a huge amount of time doing it, not as long as I did for a previous one that I did. But I just wanted to sort of summarize it in terms of some of the key points that came out of it, and to look at the sort of the slightly two-sided opinion there was. There was a slightly cynical side from some people, and there's the very much more positive side from other people. And it was hard to judge whether people were being persuaded through the chat. You are always But I recorded a song, and that song, well, it's actually, you know, it's actually quite personal, the reasons why I recorded that song on the day that I did. I'd been in a relationship, and that relationship had ended that particular day, and I just sat down, and a bit cathartic, really, I just sat down at the piano and started playing a song, and it happened to be that song that I chose to play. And when I looked back, and when I came to writing the chat on mindfulness, I realised, well, this song always on my mind. It's got the word mind in it, so I thought, you know, a bit tenuous, but why not just add it in there, just throw it in there. So it was a kind of off the hand sort of last minute thing which I just threw in there to see what would happen, but it wasn't meant to be a focus of the summary at all. You are always on my mind. You are always on my mind.
Thanks to Phil for his insights and his music, and there'll be another song from him at the end of the show. If you'd like to hear more from him on this fascinating subject, look out for the Uncut podcast coming soon. Now it's time for a Vicky Lawrence double bill. In a moment, you'll hear her speak to me from the English Teachers Association of Switzerland Special Interest Groups Day. But first, she speaks to Rachel Roberts, known to many of you as Tefalrina on Twitter. She began by asking Rachel how she got involved with social media.
Well, I'm quite a relative newcomer, really. Mm-hmm. I started with Twitter probably about 2 years ago, I think. And the first time I really came across it, I was on a research trip to Hungary with my editor at the time, Jill Florent. Mm-hmm. And she was very enthusiastic about Twitter, but I really just wasn't at all convinced, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Aya Tefl in Brighton, so what's that, about 18 months ago, and I noticed that kind of people were having, you know, tweet-ups and things, and everybody was getting together mm-hmm. through Twitter, and I thought, oh, maybe I'm missing out here. So I joined Twitter, mm-hmm. but I think it was really when I started my blog that it really took off for me, because I think the two go together really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you ever met anybody from Twitter in real life?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because mm-hmm. last weekend mm-hmm. I had my first experience of meeting somebody from Twitter that I didn't already know, you know? Uh-huh. I went to the Belty conference in Brighton, mm-hmm. and I met up with Martin Sketchley, who's ELT Experiences.
Mm-hmm. Martin is super. I've met him too.
Yes, no, lovely guy. And and also Hugh Della was mm-hmm. there, mm-hmm. who's another well-known name on Twitter.
Yeah.
So, no, that was really nice, actually. Martin came to my session, and he took our photograph. It's on my Facebook page, actually.
Oh, super. I'll check it out. Oh, great. Speaking of social media and how they extend, you're also active on ELT Chat. How did you find out about it, and what do you like the most?
I've no idea how I found out about mm-hmm. ELT Chat. I was wondering about that. I wonder if it was Jill Florent who mentioned it, but mm-hmm. I just can't remember. But I do really like it. I try and, you know, attend every week, because it's, for me, it is, you know, I work at home a lot, mm-hmm. and I do have friends, you know, real mm-hmm. ones that I see in real life, but I do spend quite a lot of time on my own at mm-hmm. home with mm-hmm. the computer, and it just feels like a, you know, a really good sort of chat in the staff room to me. And I learn so much from it, and mm-hmm. all the links that people post, and just the sharing of ideas, really, and you know, contact with other teachers, particularly the fact that it's contact with teachers in so many different contexts. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fascinating, I think, to really find out what's going on in Korea or Australia, or, you know, which I wouldn't have the opportunity to do otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. To those teachers who haven't discovered ELT chat yet, what would you tell them?
Well, you're missing out. I think, you know, not to be put off mm-hmm. at first, because it is a bit bewildering at first, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much happening so fast.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, things do get repeated. You know, it's a bit like when you first start learning a foreign language, I think. You know,
yeah.
it's hard to take it all in at first, but you get used to that way of communicating, and then, you know, you'll get so much out of it.
What would you like to tell our listeners to close this interview?
Well, I think, you know, if people are listening to sort of the ELT chat podcast, then, you know, they're part of this community that's growing across the world of teachers. And I just think everybody is making such a brilliant contribution. And I think it's such an incredible thing, actually, that teachers across the world are sharing materials and ideas, and, you know, it's incredibly motivating. So I think just, you know, keep finding out more about it, really.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I hope you enjoyed the interview.
Yes, thank you, Becky. It was lovely to talk to you.
So I'm here in beautiful Zug in Switzerland. And I'm joined now by a familiar voice to our ELT chat podcast listeners. Vicky Loris is here. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, James.
And how are you?
I'm fine. I'm great.
So we're here at the ETAS conference in Zug. Can you tell us something about the conference?
Well, it's a SIG day. It's a day devoted to special interest groups, to teens, technology, business English, etc. And we have it every year in September, and this is the second year it's happening in Zug.
And you have some involvement with ETAS. You're a volunteer. How are you involved?
I'm a member of the editorial board, which means that I work for the journal, the magazine that we have. I recruit writers. I do a little bit of editing. I also write for the journal when I can, and I do everything I can to help the journal become the final product it becomes. And I'm very lucky because we have a very special person who is leading our project in the journal. It's Sarah Spioquinto, our editor. And we've learned a lot, and we continue learning a lot from her. She's great. She's a great part of the journal.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great journal. I'm very honored to be featured in it, and it's congratulations. So how do you think the SIG Day has been going so far today?
Well, tearing myself apart from the fact that I'm a member of ETAS, I think it's going really well because we have a lot of international speakers. Like last year, we have a lot of people coming into the conference. Very interesting workshops, nice book exhibitions, and representatives that help people with teaching materials or teacher events and so on. I think it's a great, great thing to happen, and I hope that it takes part a place in the next year as well.
So this is definitely a conference I would like to recommend to any ELT chat podcast listeners living in Europe or even further afield. It's a great day in a really beautiful city. So thanks for speaking to me, Vicky, and we look forward to hearing more from you on the podcast.
Great, thanks for coming for a second year. It's great to have you here, and we hope that it happens next year too, so you can come again.
Thanks to Vicky and to Rachel for her interview. If you'd like to hear Rachel talk about her experiences of teaching in different countries and her fantastic blog, then keep an eye out for the forthcoming Uncut podcast. So I'm now joined by Chris Wilson, otherwise known as Mr. Chris J. Wilson on Twitter, who summarised the chat for us on the 17th of October. Hi, Chris. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, James. It's a pleasure to be here.
So it was your subject that we discussed. Can you tell us about it and why you suggested it in the first place?
The topic was how important is creativity in the classroom? There are two articles on the topic that I had come across recently. One was by Hugh Deller on his blog called The Curse of Creativity. And the other was an article on the Guardian website, which was called Let Creativity Into the Classroom, looking at the ELT classroom in particular. And so I just thought it was really interesting that there were these two articles kind of looking at polar opposites that came out within a week of each other, I think it was. Hugh's article had been shared a lot and been discussed a lot, so I thought it would be really good to discuss it as an ELT chat topic. And people seemed to like the suggestion, and it was chosen, which was really great because it was the first sort of suggestion I put forward that had been chosen. So that, you know, it's a really nice feeling actually for someone who's put forward about, I think, 5, 7 or something like this topics, and every time I've had 2 or 3 that came third or things like that. So it's nice to actually get something chosen.
Yeah, good. Congratulations.
Thanks.
And it was a really good chat. I really enjoyed it. It was a little chaotic, I suppose you could say, and a bit all over the place, but I actually really enjoyed that. I thought it was really interesting. And you also offered to do the summary, and you did the traditional summary, and which we really appreciated. But then you also put a twist on it. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So as we were discussing the topic, I think I made a comment that, you know, this is really chaotic, and I feel sorry for anyone who has to do the summary. And then, of course, a couple of people said, well, hang on a second, your topic, you have to do it, don't you? And I think I had some time off, some free time with a long weekend coming up. So I decided, sure, I'll go for the summary. I'll give it a go. And I think almost instantly I thought, you know, the topic is creativity. I've got to try and do this a bit differently. So after I'd finished the main summary, I took some of the key points, I thought 4 key points from it, and turned them into a Prezi presentation, an online presentation software, which was actually the first time I've used that software as well. And then I did a little screencast going through the topic, going through the presentation and reminding people of some of the other points that we'd made in the larger summary that people had said. So, you know, I think there are a couple of quotes in there, and I mentioned who said the quote, or I talked about why this point was important, or, you know, a reference or something like that. It took about 7 minutes. It's about 7 minutes long, this other summary. So I hope some people might think they don't have enough time to read through all these different quotes might go for this little 7-minute presentation instead.
Yeah, it was really interesting, I think, to see the summary being done in a different way with a new approach. The fact that you coupled it with the kind of traditional style summary means that people have the option.
I thought, what if, you know, if people think it's a gimmick or something like that, or don't want to, and also to show all the people who contributed but perhaps didn't put such good sound bites in, you know, their point was spread across 2 tweets or something, then I thought it was important to have that traditional summary as well.
Yeah, could you give us an idea about a bit more detail about the tech behind the video that you made, and just in case anyone's inspired and they want to copy you?
Yeah, of course. So I use the webcam in my laptop to do it, and as I said, Prezi was what I used for the slides to present it. The main reason for that being that I don't have PowerPoint on my new computer. And then I used a USB headset to record the audio, and it's actually a computer, a gaming headset type thing. No one could see that I did the, you know, quotation marks there. a gaming headset, because lots of them have these USB options. And then the actual software I used was Camtasia, which is a screencasting software that allows you to do whatever length of time you like. You can record the screen and your image at the same time. Unlike, say, and it costs money, it's a premium product. Unlike Jing, where you can record for up to 5 minutes, but you can't edit things, and you can't record your own image either. They're both by the same company, TechSmith. And I can even tell you the source I got it from Russell Stanning, I think it was.
Stannard,
that's it. From Teach Training Videos, because he has a discount on it. So, you know, buy now. Yeah. Not intentional plug, but there you go. I make no commission on this sale.
Well, that's a really good tips there, Chris. So thanks. And it was really interesting to see what you did. And I look forward to seeing what you come up with on your next summary. No pressure, of course.
Oh, man. That's what I sort of realized the day afterwards, when there are a couple of comments. I still can't believe the summary. It's like, oh no, I've got to outdo myself next time.
No, you don't. You did it once, and that's fine for us. Don't worry. So thanks for joining me, Chris. It was very interesting to hear you talk about the summary.
It's all right. Thanks for having me, James.
Many thanks to Chris for the interview and his great summaries. At ELT Chat, we really appreciate our summary writers. And if you'd like to join in and do one of your own, let us know via the usual channels. Speaking of which, don't forget, for ELT Chat updates, follow at ELT Chat on Twitter or search for hashtag ELT Chat. You can also join our Facebook group by just searching for ELT Chat. To keep up to date with our summaries and transcripts, go to eltchat.org. That's it for this month. Thanks to all of the contributors to the program. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesdays for our Twitter chats and next time on the ELT Chat podcast. Now, playing us out with his version of the Aretha Franklin classic, here's Phil Longwell with Think. Thanks for listening.
1, 2, 3, 4. Think. Think. It don't take